When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
It's the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Welcome back to the Late Show. Folks, last Friday, Stephen Sondheim, a man whom I consider to be the greatest composer and lyricist in the history of American theater, passed away at the age of 91. But his extraordinary legacy will live on. Because as the man himself said, art is infinite, it has no beginning and no end. In September, I had the extraordinary privilege of sitting down with the man. And I'm incredibly grateful I had the chance to tell him how much his work has meant to me personally. And tonight, I want to share with you an extended version of that conversation because I enjoyed every minute of it, and I hope you will too. Please welcome to The Late Show, Stephen Sondheim.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you again. Thanks for being
good
here.
To see you, yeah.
You know, I got a chance to interview a couple of times at the Colbert Report, and one of the things that you said to me then was that as a young man, you were lucky enough to be mentored by Oscar Hammerstein II. I've got a photo of the two of you right here.
There you are.
There's Hammerstein. There's you.
16 years old.
You haven't changed at all, kid. You look fantastic. For the people out there, the burgeoning Sondheims out there, what is it that he taught you that still sticks with you today as a composer and as a lyricist?
Majorly, he taught me to write for myself, because I wrote songs that imitated him. He said, no, write what you feel. He said, this is what I feel about, love and humanity. You write what you feel. And that was important because you'd think that would be natural, but it's not. It's not. Particularly if you think highly of the person that you're imitating, which I did.
Sure. You know? How long did it take you to, it's not a switch you can flip.
No. It took me, I was writing a score. I was writing a musical right after I got out of college. And it took me the time it took to write that musical. The musical ended up not very good, but I'd learned my lesson. And it sounded like me, which wasn't necessarily the best thing.
Welcome back to Broadway. This is a Broadway house that we're in right now.
Right, yeah.
And
it was founded.
The odd thing is that Oscar Hammerstein II, his uncle built this theater right now. This was the Hammerstein Theater, Arthur Hammerstein, and named it after Oscar's grandfather, Oscar Hammerstein I.
Right, exactly. Well, he also built one on 42nd, that is now a movie house on 42nd Street.
Sure.
The Hammerstein Opera House.
Yeah, he lost this one in 29 or something. Beginning of the Depression. CBS bought it.
I never understood
and
it.
And turned it into a studio.
Right.
Hence Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are you still writing, by the way?
Yes, I am.
You are? Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Not everybody composes into their 90s.
Now, I've been working on a show for a couple of years with a playwright named David Ives, and it's called Square One, and we had a reading of it last week, and we were encouraged, so we're going to go ahead with it, and with any luck, we'll get it on next season.
You and your collaborator, James Lapine, wrote a book called Putting It Together, which is about the two of you creating Sunday in the Park with George. What's your favorite part about working with Lapine?
Oh, James is, he's a generation younger than I, and he will go anywhere. He'll try anything. I was brought up more conservatively, which is the number has got to be, or the scene has got to be perfect before you go into rehearsal. And he said, no, let's see where we go. Let's see how it goes. So it's the improvisatory aspect of his generation, and that was very good for me. It loosened me up, and that was a great deal of fun to write with him for just that reason.
Well, I was nicely enough, I got a note from James LaPine asking me if I would blurb the book.
Oh, boy, thank you for that. That blurb is
and
great.
And I want to just read it to these people out here because it's
Please.
A true story, and I'd love to say it to you. You may already know this, but when I was 19, I read the lyrics of Putting It Together to my mother to say that this is what I wanted to do with my life, even though I had no idea of what this might be. Mm. I couldn't sing like Mandy Patinkin. I couldn't compose like Sondheim. I couldn't write or direct like James LaPine. But like Seurat's Hat, that play was a window from this world to that. And I will always be grateful to you for laying out the desire and the beauty of the act of creation itself, regardless of where that may take you.
When I read that, I was touched, and I'm touched again.
Thank
you.
For the rest of my life. Thank you. Now, Broadway fully opened this week, which is fantastic.
Isn't that great?
And soon, Company, your musical company, is coming back in November, this time swapping the gender of male-female of Bobby and the other members of the cast. Have you seen it yet?
Oh, yeah. I saw it in London. And also, we had a week of previews here before the pandemic closed everything down. So there. It's a wonderful production. Highly recommend it. And... I don't usually tout my own stuff, but I urge everybody here to see it.
I have a date with Christine Baranski. She's taking me. She asked me to go with her.
You're going to have such a good time. It's really one of the most entertaining evenings I've ever had in the theater. It's just great. And this lady, Marion Elliott, who directed it, is just remarkable.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's got a lot to live up to, though, because, as you know, I was in a production in Lincoln Center of Company in 2010. And I have a bone to pick with you about that.
Oh, really?
Do you know why I have a bone to pick with you? What
no.
it is about?
No.
Is that so? You know, we didn't get to rehearse with each other or with the orchestra
until the very last day,
the day we opened. We were just—I was working with somebody with a T-shirt on that said Patti LuPone on it. Like we didn't actually get to be with each other, and never in front of the orchestra with the musical director Paul Gimignani, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So. I got one chance to sing my song, literally right before they closed the house and brought the audience in, to sing my song, Sorry Grateful, with a Philharmonic. And I'm about to open my mouth. Here comes the swells of the, you know, the strains mm-hmm. lead to the show. And Stephen Sondheim walks down the aisle of the theater and sits in the front row right before my song begins. And I have flown with the Thunderbirds. I have gone with the down in a toboggan with the World Championship bobsled team. I have jumped off of bridges in New Zealand.
Jesus.
And the most terrifying thing I've ever done is open my mouth and sing Sondheim in front of Stephen Sondheim. You had to know the effect that was going to have on me when you sat down there.
Do you know why I sat in the front row?
Why?
Because I wanted to see the look of the thrill on your face when you heard that orchestra behind you. You must have thought, I'm on top of a mountain. I mean...
It is an extraordinary feeling to be in front of the Philharmonic and ride
man.
The wave of all that beauty.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just afraid you might drown.
I didn't know you did all those athletic things. That's news to me.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm a real athlete. You should watch the show more. I'm very sporty, Steve. I'm very sporty.
You're fearless, obviously.
Now, in December, we'll get to see Steven Spielberg's version of West Side Story. Mm-hmm. And you've visited the set. Here we go. There's another. There you are with Steven Spielberg on the set. You visited while they were shooting.
Yeah.
What can you tell us? What do you know?
It's terrific. Again, touting my own work. No, it's really terrific. Everybody go. You'll really have a good time. And for those of you who know the show, there are going to be some real surprises in it because Tony Kushner, who wrote the screenplay, has done some really imaginative and surprising things with the way the songs are used in the story. And the whole thing has real sparkle to it and real energy, and it feels fresh. It's just, it's really first rate. And movie musicals are hard to do, and this one, Spielberg and Kushner really, really nailed it.
Well, it's lovely to see you again. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, my
And I look
pleasure.
Forward to Square One.
Oh, my Square One, indeed.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com. Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.